Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you are like us, present and accounted for, ready to go for the next 3 hours. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio as we get you set up for the next 3 hours. What's up, fellas?
What's up? What is going on?
All good, all good. Nick, you saw a win last night?
A dub. A dub for the Rockets.
Yeah, I thought it would be an easy one. I think I told Barry during the break you should bet on the Rockets. But, man, I didn't see
I don't remember that.
Of course not. I didn't see it being that big of a win. But that's what they're supposed to do to teams that are wounded and not supposed to be as good as you. And they took care of business last night. That was a good win.
Yeah, I think Nick's the one that mentioned it's kind of a must-win because you can't let a game like this slip away. But it was kind of impressive, underwhelming though, from the standpoint of if you just want to see competitive basketball, because it never felt. I will say this about the Rockets: I really like the fact that they got out on the break quite a bit in this game, and I hope that that's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Nick and I were talking yesterday before the show, and I said, "Here's the deal." What I really like about Ja Morant is he doesn't back down from anybody, and he wants to prove that he belongs. But at the same time, the last time these two teams played, he got up in Harden's grill, and he started talking some mess. And I was like, well, we'll see how they react to this. And James was kind of talking a little bit last night when he hit one contested three with Ja all over him, and he gave him a couple looks and a couple of mumbles on the way back down the court. But I like the fact that the kid comes in and he doesn't back down to anybody. And he wants to prove he can play because he is a special talent.
Yeah, Harden taunted the bench at one point after he hit a three on the side, and he kind of stuck his three fingers out there. So there was definitely some trash talking. But Ja Morant didn't have the best game this time, right. But there's no doubt the guy can play. No doubt.
And here's, if you're a Rockets fan, something that you've got to pay attention to, and you hope that the league does the right thing. Russ got another technical last night. Mm. He got it for taunting. I didn't think he deserved it.
I didn't either.
And now he's close to getting suspended.
Is it 16?
I think it is 16.
And he's got 15.
He's got 15.
Not good.
So I hope they rescind that one, but at the same time, that's something you got to factor in going forward. Because he can't do that in the playoffs. You just gotta control your emotions when it means the most.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's something you worry about a little bit with a guy like Russ because he is so emotional and he plays with his heart on his sleeve and his emotions get the best of him sometimes. And you just know that, you know, guys like Pat Beverly in the playoffs, if you end up facing him, are going, because Beverly's the kind of guy that he would get ejected to get Russ ejected because he knows that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So you worry about that a little bit. But I think for the most part, we've seen Russ not just as a Rocket, but in general in his career, he does get emotional, but he figures out a way to kind of keep it in check a little bit. So it's going to be a fine line. It shouldn't have gotten to this point already. And there's a lot of season left to go.
And the thing is, and the second one, he had a big breakaway dunk. He could have gotten one for that, which was far worse than what he got the actual technical for. He got a breakaway. He came down. He was screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering the whole way back down half court. And I was like, well, that was way more egregious than what he did to get the tee.
We just don't know what was said, though, when he got teed up. Because that's the thing is, he was kind of demonstrative with the flexing, but you don't know if any words were said, which could have caused the tech.
But looking at the replay, I didn't see his mouth move at all on the tech.
Okay.
I just looked like you're right. Like he was flexing and kind of, you know, staring him down. But regardless, at the referees at some point, the rule states you're not supposed to be demonstrative. You can't be throwing your arms or, you know, you can't throw the ball or you can't, you know, stomp your feet. Those kind of things are egregious and you're going to get teed for it. Mm. But if you're just like celebrating after a big play and one in this case, I don't see the issue.
It was a little much.
Regardless, I think even if they, regardless if they rescind the technical or not, I think Russell Westbrook will eventually get to that suspension. I think he's emotions. You combine the fact that it's so difficult to get to the rim and he just uses pure aggressiveness and athleticism to get there. Once he gets to the rim and he makes it, it's like so much success just on that one play. And then you combine that with his emotions. He's always going to, that's who Westbrook is.
But
so even if they get that, even if they rescind that technical, he's probably going to get a few more technicals and get the suspension anyway.
And that's a concern because it starts over in the playoffs. So he gets a clean slate in the playoffs before he gets the possibility of suspension. But as you said, Nick, with every game important because of the fact that they are in such a tenuous situation between the 2 spot and the 5 spot. You got to win, and you don't want it to come down to late in the season when you play a tough team and you got to win, and he has to sit because he got suspended. So he's got to pay attention to it.
Yeah, he does. It's really just more about channeling it and controlling it. You don't want to take away the fire because then you lose a lot of what Russ is. So you just need him to be a little more. I feel like a lot of his have been him going at the refs, and that he can control. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to get a dunk on a player and flex on them, that's what you don't want to stop. But the complaining to the ref, you can absolutely check that. Take a cue from Robert Covington, who doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
He gets his fouls. He had 5 fouls in the game yesterday, and you really never see him. He may talk to the ref a little bit, but he's not freaking out every time he gets a call or doesn't get a call.
And don't think and that that's part of Russ's problem. The refs.
When Russ doesn't get a call, he's really over the top. And it's like, man, sometimes you got to just check that.
That's what I mean. It carries over. The fact that Covington does it the way he does it means that the refs are going to give him the benefit of the doubt the next time out. But don't think, and I've told you this from a Rockets and a Kevin McHale perspective, refs don't forget. And the minute you really piss them off, they're coming at you every time that you get there on you're on their schedule.
Yeah.
Because I told you there were 3 guys that every time that they were reffing a Rockets game and we saw the refs come out, we knew that it was going to be a tough night because of the way that they were going to continue to hold grudges. That's what happens with Russ. Because you go back a couple years ago when he was with KD, KD had this problem. He was triggered on everything. He was over-emotional, and it carried over to the playoffs. If you're one of your top two players, you cannot even allow that to get to a point where you leave it in the ref's hands.
And James is the same way sometimes. James will start to get pushed around a little bit and want to push people back and throw, you know, shoulders and push off with his forearm and try to create space and, well, doing it in the guise of creating space, but getting overly physical. So he's got to be careful too, but he's not in the same class of losing his cool like Russ does. Russ is up there with one of the most, I would say, volatile players in the league. He's a volatile dude, but emotionally.
I would also say that in order for Russ to play his best, he has to play with that volatility. Sure. He has to have that chip on his shoulder because when he plays like that, look, when they made this move, we didn't know how they were going to kind of peacefully coexist. And there were times early in the season when we thought maybe they can't to maximize the talent. Right now, they are maximizing both of those guys on the court at the same time. And that's what, if you're a Rockets fan, that's what you're most hopeful about for the playoffs.
I tell you what, the most impressive thing for me last night was Covington getting 3 more blocks. That dude is averaging now, since he's been a Rocket, he's averaging over 2 blocks a game. He was averaging 0.9 blocks a game with Minnesota this year. He's averaging more blocks a game than he has with any other team. In 8 games, he has 21 blocks. He had 45 in his first 48 games with Minnesota. So I wonder, because he's not really known as a shot blocker. I think on his career, he averages 1 a game, and he's averaging 2.5. I wonder if it's just because there's nobody else that he's kind of become the de facto rim protector, so he gets more opportunities to block shots. And he's got, I think they said a 7, he's 6'8", something like that. He's but he's got a 7'2" wingspan. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's just the fact that he's getting more opportunities to block shots, but he's on a hell of a run.
Well,
it's impressive.
And speaking of a hell of a run, the thing that's most impressive to me about last night is the streak continues of Russell Westbrook being able to curtail his 3-point shooting. The fact that
that's
you know,
too.
Right around Christmas when everybody made the big, and let me tell you something. I know that I've got people that have told me how much it bothered him that people were constantly calling him out on him not being a good shooter and being an awful 3-point shooter and all those different things. And it was really, really starting to get to him. And you know what he did? He changed his game, which a lot of guys with their egos won't do. But since then, I don't know that you'll find a game since around Christmas where he shot more than 3 threes or 4 threes in a game. And he's smart about it. He takes the wide open ones. He's making more of them because of it. And when he's passing on those opportunities, what's he doing? He's attacking the rim more, and that's when he is absolutely dangerous.
Yeah, it's been impressive. Just real quick, the blocks for Covington since he's became a Rocket, this is per game, 201-44-343.
They need that.
Just unbelievable.
They absolutely need that if they're going to play small ball, too. And Jeff Green, who led on to Mark Berman last night prior to the game, that he is going to be signed for the rest of the year, which is a no-brainer because of how quickly he's fit in and how great he's played on both ends. But then it behooves me to ask the question, and Nick, you were there, but you guys both watched the game. I see Damari Carroll on the floor now more, but I'm kind of asking why. I don't know that he fits. He definitely doesn't fit as the way that Jeff Green does.
I think he's a defensive guy. You're not putting him out there for his offense, but I think defensively.
Hey, I don't know if he got much opportunity on offense either. You know?
You saw the one wide open three that he absolutely airballed. I mean, he came up about 6 feet short, and I was like, oh, boy, please tell me that was blocked. Nope, that was just misfire.
He had a couple blocks, too, but.
Of his own shot? No. Seemed like he blocked his
one,
own shot
right?
There.
Didn't he? He made a 3-point shot.
I think he
went like 1 for 5 or something like that. I gotta look.
Maybe
it up.
I don't remember. I remember the first. I remember seeing the shot where he absolutely missed. But I feel like he didn't get too much. He didn't look as comfortable as Jeff Green. That's for sure.
Yeah, you can tell that that chemistry between Green, Westbrook, and Harden from their OKC days.
Yeah,
boy, he has just taken
that
a
probably
liking
helps
to this
a lot
system.
Fitting in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Carroll 1 for 5 from 3-point range, so he did make one.
You know, just, even a blind squirrel.
That's very Russ-esque.
And he probably got that opportunity when both Harden and Westbrook checked out for the game.
Yeah, that's
and
another
and the garbage minutes, you know.
Secret positive is with a big lead like that, the bench got a lot more run.
And the starters got some rest. Yeah.
Austin Rivers making what his first 7 shots before he missed.
Yeah, he was I think a perfect it was either a perfect 6 for 6 or a perfect 7-7 before he shot that air
and
ball.
And I was gonna say there was another air ball.
But after that air ball, he kept playing.
All right, well, we'll keep playing, too. We're just getting started. We've got plenty more to get to. A little more Rockets, too. At some point, we've got Tillman Fertitta audio. He went one-on-one with Stephen A. Smith pregame last night and had some interesting comments you Rockets fans might be interested in. And if you want to join us and get in on the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. And if you want to reach out directly on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with the K. Together, we're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Just getting started on The Usual Suspects, talking some Rockets as the game last night went very much in Houston's favor as they blew out the Grizzlies and won their 5th straight game. Nick was there. Barry and I watched on the tube as we talked a little bit about the state of the union of this team right now as we head down the home stretch after the All-Star break. We had talked yesterday on the show about Tillman Fertitta. He had done an interview with the Austin Statesman Journal and made a few comments, and we had mentioned some of the quotes. He went one-on-one with Stephen A. Smith pregame last night, prior to the game. And one of the interesting, there was a couple interesting quotes that I took from it. One of them was, we kind of got the idea when they didn't give D'Antoni an extension in the offseason, that this would be the end, unless they did something really special this year. And it seems like he's changed his tune a little bit about both Daryl and Mike, based on what he said.
Well, I mean, I have high expectations, but I can tell you Daryl Morey does, and Mike D'Antoni does. But they do a great job. They're under pressure, but I'm under pressure. We wanna win playoff rounds, and we want to win a championship. But I have all the faith in the world, and you know, I want to continue to be a stable organization, hopefully with Mike here for many years to come, and of course Daryl here for many years to come. You always want to be stable in a sports organization, and if we ever make a change, it's because we start failing. But failing one season or one playoff series is never a failure, and I think we're going to all be happy at the end of the year.
You believe that? All of a sudden, failing in one playoff doesn't matter, but it seemed like at the end of last season, the failure and the way they failed made everybody expendable except James Harden.
No, I think he's right in that failure for one season doesn't matter, but when they start to stack up Texans, it matters.
I thought you were going to say Ted Brown. Nick, your thoughts? I mean, look.
I mean, where in the playoff, where in the postseason are you getting bounced? I mean, one playoff series, yeah. Is that one playoff series the Western Conference Finals? Or is it the semis? Or is it the first round?
Well, here's the other thing. You could have, and he alluded to it. He won a lot of games in the regular season 2 years in a row for him. But if you have successful regular seasons, as you want to do the cough in Texans, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs, now you've got multiple failures because your admitted goal was the fearsome Warriors, and you didn't beat them. And you could, whether your hamstrings were right or not, whatever the case may be, is that on Mike? Is that stacked failure so it isn't just 1 year?
Yeah.
He's got ways where he can get out of it. It's just to hear him talking about that, it seems like Mike D'Antoni absolutely turned chicken bleep into chicken salad by going small ball and gave and opened the door to a possibility of him being around after this season.
I think everybody had to buy in, though, right? I mean, Tillman had to buy in because he's going to trade players. Daryl had to buy in. This had to have been and that may be why Tillman's changed his tune, because there might have been a meeting of the minds, and it was like, okay, look, first of all, this isn't working the way we're doing it. Let's try this. If it doesn't work, you're going to let me go anyways. Let's get it. And then the results so far have been pretty positive, and that's why he's been positive, is because he's like, oh, look at this. The stuff that they wanted to do is actually
you may be onto something dividends. Because I don't even think he would have been that nice. I think in a meeting, based on we know that Daryl a lot of times brings in guys without even checking with basketball, the coaching staff, if he wants guys. And I think you're right. I think at some point he might have just said, you know what? F this. Bottom line is you guys are going to fire my ass at the end of the year regardless. So at least let me go out on my terms the way I want to play. Because Woj was on last night. I was at the gym watching all this on SportsCenter. And Woj came on and said, he has a lot of regret when talking about, because they were talking about his teams in Phoenix that were small ball. Mm-hmm. He said he regrets more than anything else in his tenure with the Rockets that against the Spurs a few years ago, he wanted to do it. He wanted to be 100% bought into it. And at the last second, he pulled back and he thought that cost them dearly. And he said it's his biggest regret since he started taking over this team. That leads me to believe that he basically said, like, I don't care if I won 65 1 year. I don't care what I did before. If you truly are going to make me earn this, let me do it my way.
Let me go out the way I want to go out. And you know what? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And Capella, I don't think there wasn't enough. Because if you're Daryl, you know, you're looking at things differently. And if you're Tillman, you're looking at things differently. But I think that and this is why I say they have to buy in. Because if it's just Mike D'Antoni saying, I want to do small ball, if Daryl believes that the wave of the future for this team is to have Clint Capella involved, no way he's making that trade. So he's got to be bought in. And then they've got to go to the owner and say, I know we've got this dynamic young guy and Clint Capella, but it's not the direction we want to go. Now Tillman has to be bought in, because he may be like, wait a minute, I just gave this cat a contract and it was a great deal. There may be some value in the fact that we're not overpaying, or if you feel like they overpaid. So that's why I say, for whatever reasons occurred in the conversations,
but
I feel
like
all three of these have to be on the same page, and that's why you're seeing Tillman Fertitta singing a different tune.
You know why you are, too, when you say bought in? Mm. Because part of the buy-in was that Clint's big contract was essentially bought out, and he wasn't over the luxury tax anymore.
Sure.
Because he was also adamant, and he didn't want it to be public, but he was adamant about saying, if we don't have every piece and are just one little tweak away from going full blown and have a championship in our back, you know, in our backyard with a chance to win it,
better.
Then I'm not paying the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And so essentially, when they looked at the roster and the way they were playing prior to going all out into small ball, they said, one thing we're going to do before the deadline is make the owner happy and not be over the luxury tax.
Yeah.
So I think that factored in.
No, I think all of y'all's ideas are very plausible. I think that's a very possible. And look, the other thing is with their perspective of small ball is might be completely different than, you know, what we view as quote unquote small ball. Because even Mike D'Antoni said in the pregame, I didn't know that Tillman Fertitta said this in the pregame until I went back and listened to this interview. But Mike D'Antoni said, look, we didn't call it small ball. We just said we're giving a different style of play. Yeah, we're giving up some height and we're bringing in this guy. We didn't even call it small ball. And then when Stephen A. Smith asked Tillman Fertitta on the broadcast, hey, you know, when they said, you know, when Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey approached you about small ball, you know, how did you take it? He's like, first of all, they didn't even call it small ball. So it was just a different style of play. And their perspective of it is completely different than I think most of us would view it. So I think the short amount of success that they've had may have served as a bit of a reset button for Mike D'Antoni, mm-hmm. and maybe, just maybe, he's earned himself some longevity. So yeah. I think everything that you guys have said
here's
is
me
possible.
Playing Debbie Downer, shocker, but here's me being a realist, okay? The track record of small ball under Mike D'Antoni is extreme success in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Where it falters is in the playoffs. So that's going to be the ultimate test. It's working now. It's going to get you more wins. I think essentially it's going to get you a top four seed.
I mean, he got
to
a conference finals in Phoenix. So it's not like it's not possible. He just didn't get him to the finals. But he was able to get to a conference finals.
Let me just remind you that under Tillman Fertitta, a season isn't successful if you just make the Western Conference finals. Because then you can say you were a hamstring away and you can make excuses.
Right. But I think everybody in this city is happy if they're losing in Game 7 to the team that goes on and wins a championship. You wouldn't take Western Conference defeat in seven games every year?
Of course you would. The city would be happy with that.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think their expectations are different than the Texans.
Every year for how long? I mean, if it's for like the two, three years, yeah, I would probably take it, honestly. Yeah.
If it's like six seasons. Yeah, if you're the Buffalo Bills or, you know, the Braves and you never quite get over the hump, but would you rather be making the playoffs and not just making the playoffs, but getting to the Western Conference Finals and getting close every year or getting bounced and occasionally? Like, I think if they did it every year, everybody's happy.
Because I will say,
you got to get there. You got to get to, you know, you got to get to that point to have a chance, and who knows what happens.
Was it the Raptors coach that kept getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and then he eventually got fired?
Well, Dwayne Casey was a guy that they expected more from, and when he won Coach of the Year, but he didn't get far enough the year they thought they had it all. And then he got bounced, and Nick Nurse took over, and then Nick got him, you know, all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well,
they were the ones that couldn't get by the Cavaliers.
They also went and got Kawhi Leonard, which Casey didn't have. And
yep.
Boy, that makes a big difference.
A massive difference.
Yeah.
Well, before we go to break, the other thing that was interesting is we talked about and had addressed the fact that I thought his quotes to the Austin Statesman's Journal were concerning because of the fact that he said, we feared the Warriors. And made reference to the fact that the team feared Golden State. He addressed that with Stephen A.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Golden State was a great team. We were obsessed with Golden State. Everybody was obsessed with them. And all I said was there's a bunch of really good teams in the Western Conference this year. I mean, we're one game out of the fifth spot, and we're 2.5 games out of the second spot. And it's going to be a tough playoff run. But our team, we feel like, can win it all, as well as the Lakers, the Clippers, Denver, Dallas. There's just a lot of Utah. There's a lot of really good teams. And we don't fear anybody. We feel like we can win it all, as well as the Clippers and the Lakers and Denver.
Didn't do a very good job.
You didn't address the fact that you've still basically said you did fear Golden State. No, by the way, as we've talked about on this show, they're only going to be gone for a year. Next year could be another Warriors-type team you got to fear.
And I don't feel like coming out and saying you feared that team is terrible. I think it's a lot of people didn't want to face Golden State in the playoffs. And if that's the case, call it what you want. But if you don't want to face a team, call it fear. Call it common sense. Call it what you want. But nobody wanted to face the Warriors on their path to the Western Conference Finals.
Different, though.
You wanted to see them there.
Different, though. You still didn't fear them, right? If they happened to lose to somebody else and you didn't – you wanted – fair to say, we don't want to play them until we absolutely have to, Western Conference
That's
Finals.
That's fear.
But no, I think fear sets a different tone, and I think it's a bad look.
It's semantics when you talk about the word used. It's all saying the same thing. You don't want to play them, period. Call it fear, call it easy path, call it what you want. The fact of the matter is nobody wanted to see the Warriors until they absolutely had to.
But I don't think that's – I think knowing that you wanted to face them, and if you faced them, you felt like you could beat them, then you're not scared. If you're scared and you want someone else to take them out and you use the word fear, then I think that's a different issue.
Fair enough.
First half hour of the show's done, and of course we leave it right there. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. You guys can chime in if you want to be part of the discussion. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show going right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios on a Thursday. Tomorrow, an F yeah Friday, and F yeah, we got a guest coming in.
Yeah, you would be excited.
One of my favorites.
Your favorite comedian?
Good dude. Jerry Rocha is going to be in town, so he's going to join us.
Yeah.
2:30 tomorrow.
Got a little Chubb going over there.
No Chubb. Man, don't call Jerry that. He's... I don't know. Does he try to be fit?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure that he does try all that hard.
He's very passionate about figurines and
animated
characters, right?
He does have a passion for action figures.
Yeah, I wouldn't call
it. You think he's round?
A little bit, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it's been a while since he's been in studio, so I might.
I think he might be in better shape than any of the three of us. I'll say that.
Right. Oh, so he's proactive, is what you're saying?
He just eats better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's got what? You say he's got an album coming out?
No, he just has a show in town.
Show.
Yeah. And which I hit up the guy that books the show. I was like, hey, I talked to Jerry and we're buds. And so he was cool if I opened for him. And he's like, oh, I already got it booked. I was like,
oh, man.
Jerk. So nobody should go. Just kidding. Go see Jerry.
Yeah.
Go support friend of the show, Jerry Rocha.
He's in town, so it's always good to catch up with him in person. He's been in here before since Barry brought him in. He's filled in once. But he's a Cowboy fan. Big Dallas sports guy.
Realistic Cowboy fan. Not a crazy Cowboy fan.
Yeah. But so we'll have some fun with him tomorrow. That'll be good. I take it he'll be our comedian of the week.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably a smart.
That would make sense. Yeah. I was going to do Chinadu, and then I forgot that it was the end of the week and that Jerry was coming. So we'll do Chinadu next week.
Oh, is that the guy I saw at the Barry Center?
That is the guy.
Yeah, he's actually pretty funny.
So we're going to do, I promised, so I thought Chinadu this week, and then a buddy of mine, Mike Rao, Areo, I don't know how to pronounce it, but he was going to be, so maybe Mike next week and then Chinadu. I'll figure it out. But I've been proactive on getting these guys to send me audio and tapes and all that. So
we got some comedians. We got some comedians
coming.
We've got
some
stuff
lined up.
Chinadu coming in, or we're just featuring it?
We're just featuring it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to.
He worked with Lisa.
Yes.
11.
Yes. So you don't like him or what?
No, I've never met him.
Okay.
So I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah. No, if I don't like them, they're not coming on. I don't care how much you think they're coming on. We'll just be clear about that.
Fair enough.
Okay. So with that, we'll look forward to an FEF Friday tomorrow. That should be fun.
Good news.
Yes.
I am not wearing backup underwear today.
Oh.
I did laundry this morning. Didn't do it last night. I had a benefit show at the Seeker Group for the Australian brush fires. I mean, we weren't raising money for the fires. We were raising money for the animals that were victims of the fires.
Okay.
And so we...
The little koala bears and such.
Koala bears and such. We raised a decent amount of money to be able to buy some supplies and whatnot to assist over there. So it was a magic... they had like magic... It was like burlesque, magic... Comedy. It was like a variety show, so it was pretty cool.
Did your boy Robbie get in on the magic or no?
He did not. No. Somebody else. There were several other magicians and I forget the, what was the chick's name? Harpe Diem, the burlesque? Tiff Tiddlewinks? I'm not sure.
Yikes.
Yeah. I don't know, which I got to look up who it was again, but it was a lot of fun.
Good.
Cool show. So, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't do laundry last night. Did it this morning.
So I thought you were just going to say the lucky blue underwear were just recycled today, so you didn't have you to
know,
go to the...
I went totally against the grain last night, and what you saw me in was what I wore, which is unreal.
I didn't see what underwear you were in. I want to be clear.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Let's just make
like,
that...
What did, what
yeah,
exactly
you
did you
like,
see, Joel?
Okay, I saw you dancing
no,
in your britches.
No, we get it. You
no,
saw Barry's
no,
underwear.
No,
the audience understands.
Right.
They understand.
No.
Yep.
No. What I meant was, damn it. Normally, I wear certain shoes on stage. I don't wear certain shirts. Like, I have a whole... But I wore boots yesterday and a lumberjack
thigh
shirt.
High or just over the calf?
Just regular boots and a lumberjack flannel and all that stuff. And that's what I wore on stage. And I would have never worn that normally, but I was like, whatever. And everything went fine. So I think the superstition stuff is dumb.
Boy, we could have told you that before going through all the
didn't
other
even
stuff.
Wear... I just wore my... I had to wear spandex, whatever they're called. Not spandex.
Spanx?
No. I wear Spanx, Joel.
What are you talking?
What kind of underwear is it? The compression shorts.
Oh, the compression shorts.
It's spandex, right?
I
aren't
guess
they made
part,
of spandex?
In part, I guess.
Yeah.
Depends on which brand you get.
Okay.
That's... Nick, you got your backup britches worked out too? Or
hey, I have clean laundry. Underwear. I have clean underwear for once.
Okay.
Boy, Nora's out of town
in
next week. I'm going to be in
boy.
Trouble.
Yeah.
It's have you ever bought new underwear because you're too lazy to wash the... The, you know,
when I was single, I did.
I've totally done that.
What?
For sure. Yeah.
You guys would buy underwear instead
and socks.
Of wash them?
Yeah.
I hated doing laundry. My mom would come to visit when I lived in Portland, and she'd be just like, oh my God, I'm just going to be here doing laundry the whole time. And I'm like, yeah. Like, even when I would want to go out on the weekends, I'd be like, well, there's a bunch of stuff I haven't washed yet. Let me go shopping, see if
not
I can't find
not with a
something.
Washing machine in the house. If I had to go to a laundromat.
No, yeah, like the apartment complex had laundry. And
a
I
laundromat.
Hated doing that. Yeah.
No, see, that's I would agree. I would probably be like, eh, I don't want to do that. But if the dryer and washer is just down the hall in the same house.
Yeah, that's a new level of lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to go, you know, walk, because we used to live in an apartment and I hated that.
Yeah, I hated it.
And so that's why when we moved, I was like, every apartment we live in from now on has to have a washer and dryer in it. So we don't have to go to a laundromat.
Yeah.
But I get that. That's the epitome of lazy.
Yeah.
I would just go wash.
Yeah.
Turn them inside
You've
out.
You've done it with a washer and dryer
now.
In the house.
Listen.
Yeah.
Okay. I've worn dirty underwear. Nah, we'll just put it out there.
Wow.
No underwear. You just grab a pair. Grab the ones that maybe you just wore on a Saturday and never left the house. Those have to
the
be
lucky
the cleanest
pair
one.
You were only on no. stage for a few hours with.
Yeah. Those have to be the cleanest.
No okay. runs, no drips, no airs.
I'll admit it. Sure.
Okay.
Have I gotten a pair of dirty socks out? Because I don't have. Yeah, done that.
You're going to do it next week when Nora's out of town.
No. I don't do that anymore.
Like, you've never legit, like, packed a brand new pair, like, brand new pack of, like, socks or underwear because you didn't wash your underwear or socks in time for the trip. So you went traveling. So you just packed everything in your luggage was, like, brand new. You've never done that?
Oh, dude!
I've done that so many times.
No question on road trips with the Rockets.
You mean you just bought stuff while you were there?
Yeah.
No, like I would buy or over there. Yeah, I've done that too. Yeah,
that's what I would do when we would land
at the destination. Yeah.
Normally, the hotels we stayed at were centralized in a downtown location where there was either a mall or stores, and there I wasn't the only one. Plenty of guys in the traveling party be like, "Man, I ran out of time and didn't have time to wash between last road trip and this road trip. I got to go to find a CVS or I got to find drawers or I got to find." This or
who's
I gotta find
shopping
that.
At a CVS?
Oh my God, CVS for deodorant, toothpaste, anything?
Oh, that no,
those
no, that
kind of
I get. We're talking clothes. We're not talking deodorant.
Well,
I
we're
get
not,
that.
We're not.
I'm talking. Nick is saying he went out and bought socks and underwear because he was too lazy to wash for the trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole difference.
You just reminded me of something. Craig Ackerman is never going to be. And I love Craig.
No, you
Craig,
don't.
Yes,
oh
I do, for
you
sure.
You hate him so much. You've said so
nope.
off air.
Craig commercial Ackerman, breaks and everything.
Yeah,
yep,
just like,
heard.
Man, I hate that guy.
Craig Ackerman's never going to be known as a guy that's going to overspend on most
he's
anything.
Cheap. Just say it. He's cheap.
But then we go to L.A. one time, and he needed a tie for something. And I was like, well, we're going to go over here. You coming with us? He goes, no, I think I'll be on my own. I think I saw a store. I'm going to go get a tie. Turns out he went to the store that Phil Jackson, I think, buys his ties from. He came back, and we were on the bus going to shoot around, and he goes, man, bought a tie last night. I go, really? You like it? He goes, I like it, but I don't think I should have paid that much. When he told me how much he paid for it, I go, you march your happy ass right back down to that store. And I don't care how friendly the guy was. You take that thing back. He's like, yeah, but I don't think I can because he was so nice to me and he found out I worked in the NBA. And he might. I go, you may never see him again. And if he think he tells some people the Rockets get radio guy is cheap, damn right I am. I'm not paying what Phil Jackson pays for ties.
Yeah, that's
dude,
too
if
much.
You're paying more for a tie than you pay for like an entire outfit but of like a sweater
crazy.
And jeans
that's
or whatever.
Crazy.
No.
Just go to Marshall's.
Exactly.
No one's gonna know.
There's a bunch of cheap and trendy spots. Like they're yeah. cheap, but it's still like
Goodwill
in style.
Salvation Army.
I'll be honest, you guys know Tony. Tony and I when we were in San Francisco for the Western Conference Finals, the Giants were playing and they gave us tickets. And we know at night in San Francisco it gets cold. I ain't gonna lie. Tony got the tickets. I went to Old Navy. I got a couple beanies, a couple of hoodies for about like $35. We're
yeah,
good.
That's it.
I don't care.
I forgot to pack something, so I'll buy it while I'm on the road. But here's the thing, guys. I've been with Nora for 21 years now. Going on 20. It'll be 22 this year.
Right.
I've never not had clean clothes.
Yeah,
like literally until the last year or so is when she stopped washing. But even then, if she knows I'm going out of town and she knows I haven't washed, she washes anyways for me. So before I met her, I traveled and yes, I would buy stuff on the road. But that's when I was single.
Like I bet you H&M is a perfect spot for that.
Yes,
like
Old
if you're
Navy,
like
H&M,
for Craig Ackerman
Marshalls,
too. Like if he want, he needs
TJ Maxx, those type of stores.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and don't be embarrassed about doing it. It's smart.
Sometimes I would buy a shirt and then wear it and then take it back.
In college,
be like,
I did
this
that.
Don't fit.
Oh, in college, I did that. It incensed my mom.
Yeah.
And when I told Lisa yeah. I used to do that, I'd be like, hell yeah, dude. I'd go to Nordstrom. I'd get a great
I'll do
looking
that stuff
sweater.
With Walmart.
I'd go out and impress everybody when I went out, but yeah, I'd leave the tags on, tuck them in the back. It's going back.
I do that stuff with Walmart. You buy something, you just use it and take it back. Be like, I didn't like this. They don't care. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, Lisa's terrified of taking stuff back. I'm like,
no
give
way.
It to me. I'll
I'm
do it.
Terrible about it. I'm terrified about it, too. Cannot do it.
Just here's a tip. Don't take back the underwear you bought when you didn't do laundry.
I won't. I'll try not to do
okay,
that.
That's good. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, if you got nothing to do, might I suggest you doing a comedy show to try and raise water for the University of Houston and surrounding areas? Evidently, according to Nick and people on Twitter, a water main or some kind of a water breakage has created no water supply on the campus of the University of Houston. They're shutting down the campus until they fix it, and surrounding areas are now affected, Nicholas?
UH campus is thirsty, but it looks like it's going beyond that because Channel 26 is tweeting about it.
Did Mark Berman break the story?
Probably. Who knows?
No.
Ugh. I don't know how.
Oh, good old Mark Berman in the Astros press box. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Nick, what's worse? Mark Berman in the press box or Barry Laminack with a cold?
All right. I could have died. Mark wasn't dying. Okay?
Well, Joel.
I had the flu. I could have died. I had the flu.
Mark Berman's stomach.
Bro,
was
you
just
didn't have the coronavirus. You had a cough.
People die from the flu. I had the flu and bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time
and
for that.
And a sinus infection.
Yeah.
You're all messed
what
up.
What are you doing giving him vitals?
Might as well
stats.
Have had AIDS.
What, are you reading his freaking bio now?
No, he just cares.
Oh,
unlike
stop.
You.
Stop. Well, you got that right. I just think that when you have a, I don't care if it's called a disease, a sickness, or a virus, when you have one that starts Thanksgiving
yeah, well, first
and
of all,
carries into the new year,
leave it to
I think
you
it's
to,
more
to
than
one up my Mark Berman impression.
Oh, God.
And I was going to get on you about messing with me, but as much crap as I gave you yesterday, I completely deserved that. So Just stop trying to one-up my Mark Berman impression.
I wasn't. I've been doing the Barry Laminack impression, which is different than you.
And who do you think?
We laugh at your Mark Berman.
Who do you think started the Barry Laminack impression? You stealing my bit? you taking my bit? Coughing is my thing, Joel. Can't have that.
Next time it comes
I up. Said I deserved it. All right.
Next time you bring that to me, I'm not going to do another coughing impression.
What? What are you going to do?
Hammer it for $14.18. And if you think you got me, I'll get water at U of H.
Big, big hammer.
I hate you so much. Oh, God. That was...
I'm the guy that gets water at U of H. You can lick the bowl.
Lick the bowl?
Water.
Where did that
toilet,
come
Toilet's got to work, too.
Where did that come from, Jim?
Mean and clean, the Texas Hammer.
Wow, you can lick the bowl?
Yeah.
There's your next shirt.
There we go.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of shirts,
so did they say what happened to the main? Did somebody bust it digging up something?
One tweet that I'm looking at, Stephen Morgan of Fox 26, water continues to gush from the broken water main in East Houston. The city of Houston is encouraging people to conserve water as they work to fix this mess. Portions of the East Loop remain flooded and closed near Clinton. So there's literally water on highways.
So that's a big
deal. It's just water and not, and for our sake, Nick, knowing what that takes too, I hope it's just water and not like waste.
Oh,
that's what shut down 59 a few weeks ago, and they shut it down for like 8 hours, and it made getting home. Nick and I were on like walkie-talkies talking to each other, trying to take back routes to get home. It was ridiculous.
I'd be like, just let me home. I'll drive through the boo-boo. Just let me home.
That's what I was thinking. As long as it's on the highway.
I'll wash the car. Yeah, who cares?
It's not toxic. It's just waste. Let's go.
Yeah.
225 is shut down at 610. Some businesses about a mile down are reporting no water service. So
now I will say the other one recently that happened, I'm all for just leaving the waste. Just leave the freaking waste on the highway. It'll go away, and if you don't like it, you can wash your car. But like a month ago, they had one where in the morning in the fog, an 18-wheeler tipped over and pig parts were all over.
What?
Yeah. And there was a big 18-wheeler filled to the gills with pig parts. And that's what they kept calling the reporters on site. We're like, so it's going to take hours as the hazmat crews come to clean up all of the pig parts.
It was a hot dog truck.
I don't know about that.
I mean, just hadn't made them yet.
Yeah, they haven't made the hot dogs yet because, as we've said,
that's awful.
Everything from the rooter to the tooter finds their way into a hot dog. But
pig parts.
Yeah,
huh?
Pig parts is a lot worse.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Every time you say rooter to the tooter, I literally think it's just so nasty. Rooter to the tooter. Yeah. That's nasty.
I told you that's Murph's line. Calvin Murphy gave me that one.
I've heard that before. I don't think
I'm just saying he uses it in regard to making hot dogs because of the fact that, like, I grew up where we used to – I told you, we used to take the field trip to the plant to see how they made hot dogs. If you can, like, seriously anticipate eating another hot dog after finding out how they make them and what goes into them, more power to you.
Sayings like that from the rooter to the tooter, I always wonder where stuff like that comes from. Because somebody had to make it up. Mm-hmm. Somebody came up with it. And then you're like, well, what's the... Because you can find like a phrase like, I don't know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You can find the origins of that phrase, right? Like, I think it goes back to horse trading days. If someone gave you, back when, before there were cars, if someone gave you a horse to check their health, you would look in their mouth. So they would tell you if you were given a horse, don't check it to see if it's healthy or not. It was a free gift. Just take the horse.
Oh, I would have never known that.
Yeah.
And I gave away lots of horses when I was younger.
See? Yeah, that's... So you wonder, where does from the rooter to the tooter come from?
Murph had a lot of them, because the old school guys...
I think it's a southern thing, right? Was Murph a southern guy?
Murph's East Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from...
Oh, wow.
He's from East Coast.
Because my mom has a bunch of those. Like, she would say, deader than a doornail.
Oh, I've heard that for sure. What the
I've hell? Heard that. I've heard that before,
yeah, too. What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know, but I've heard that.
That's just, like, stuff like that is just weird to me.
Yeah, that's definitely
cock of the
one.
Walk.
We gotta go. See, you always take it too far.
You gotta throw it. You gotta
you
throw in
take
that
it too far. Go
you have to throw in that C
give
word.
Give me a Berman one more time, so I can get out of here without feeling dirty.
Mark.
Breaking news. Hour number two, right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
WSB. G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.